Right. Okay. Once again, the picture is clear and the sound is clear. You're saying, yeah, it's okay.
Sounds fine, yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Hopefully, I have had in the past, as you remember, computer problems. Every so often, my computer switches off. I'm on a brand new computer now. So hopefully, things should be plain sailing. It's Hashem. It's Hashem.
It's a Dell laptop.
It's a Dell laptop, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing my wife has.
Okay, so I hope it's going to work well for us. It's Hashem. We saw a complicated sugya yesterday. Let's just do a brief review. We have a machlokes in the Mishnah between Reb Meir and the Rabbonon. Remember, we're talking about where you have entrusted, ne'emon olai, it's called. You have entrusted your father, my father. Let's go with Rashi to be one of the dayonim, which means let's not make any mistake about it. Min ha-Torah, he is totally posel because he's a korev. But in monetary matters, I can invest in him my belief. This obviously does not work in other halachas of the Torah. Imagine somebody is brought to Beis Din, accused of being mechalel Shabbos, and he might potentially have to get skila. So there, obviously, if one of the dayanim is his father, then he is disqualified. We cannot put somebody to death unless we have a perfectly kosher Beis Din. That's obvious to us. But we're not dealing with us. We're dealing with a financial situation. But a financial situation, and this is what we saw yesterday, can always split it itself up into two. Who's pulling the strings over here? So let's briefly review this. There are two possible cases, which the Gemara called either mochul lecha or etein lecha. Mochul lecha means the malveh. It's the teveh, it's the lender, who says, listen, I very gallantly am prepared to rely on the dayonis of the judgment of your father or my father. And in the event that he paskens that you are exempt from paying, then mochul, then the money will remain exactly where it is. So no money will be extracted. No money will change hands. It'll be mochul lecha. It'll be retained in your back pocket. That's one case. The opposite case is where the loiver, the borrower, he's talking. And he says, I'm prepared to rely on your father. And even in the event that he incriminates me, etein lecha, I will extract money and I will give it to you. Those are the two cases. Now, we all understand, we all appreciate that to extract money is always harder halachically than it is to retain money. To extract money means you're changing the status quo. To retain money, you are keeping the status quo. And that's why, without getting involved in all the opinions again, but that's why we had all various opinions. We had three in total yesterday. When was the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Rabbonon said? Reb Meir said, you can backtrack, you could be chayza. Even though you said, I'm prepared to invest my belief, my ne'emonus, ne'emon alai, my father, your father, but I can change my mind. By the way, in the next Gemara, which we're going to see today, Mitzvah Hashem, there's a question, at exactly which point can you change your mind? That's coming up. But either way, I can change my mind. And the Rabbanon said, you can't. Now, we always now, based on our introduction, we always now have to work out, which case were they talking about? Were they talking about the case of mochul lecha? Were they talking about etein lecha? It would make more sense. It would make more sense. We could understand more, at least, that in the case of etein lecha, which is where money is actually going to be extracted and handed over, that's much more of a chiddush, and maybe there it's more likely that you can be chayza. You could change your mind. Whereas in the case of where he said mochul lecha, the money is just going to remain exactly where it is. So no money is actually changing hands. So it's more likely in that case that you cannot change your mind because once you said mochul lecha, the money stays where it is, period. So the bottom line is we saw various opinions. We saw Shmuel, we saw Rabbi Yochanan, we saw Rava, but it's all really based on the logic that we just said. We had a similar parallel discussion also in the case of Shavua. Remember, what was the equivalent case of Shavua in the Mishnah? In the same way, again, in financial situations, I can be reliant on somebody who is essentially a posel dayon. I can also be reliant on something which essentially is not really a correct shvuah. So if you remember, we saw this Loshen in the Mishnah about of by the life of your head. Now that sounds a very sharp terminology, but it's not, technically speaking, a Loshen of a shvuah. But the Mishnah said once again, you could be reliant on it. And once again, there was a discussion about, can you backtrack? And once again, the Gemara made a distinction between a shvuah, which is to retain money, like Moed B'Miktzas, as opposed to a shvuah to extract money. And the Gemara drew a parallel. So therefore, the Gemara once again said that whatever would be the halacha with regard to relying on a judge, who's my father, so to relying on a shvuah, which is not, technically speaking, a accurate shvuah min ha-Torah. But if it's in the case of extracting money, it's more likely that in that case, you can backtrack, because it's much more of a chiddush to extract money, to enforce money, to change hands, than it is to merely retain the money where it is. And that's what we got up to yesterday. So we're up, yes.
I just want to say that I was thinking about this, and on machalach, there's no action to be taken.
Right.
I said to you, machalach, okay, I have no obligation to do anything. But if I say, nitin lach, okay, you said you're going to do something. But until you do it, you're chayev.
Right.
So now the problem is, I'm going to take action. So the Torah is giving you, Chazal is giving you the option. Listen, you still didn't take the action. You made a hasud, but so
that's exactly
I'm giving you the opportunity to go back on it, because I know you still have to go and you have to do what you say you're going to do.
100%. Yeah, that is really that's the underlying principle. We all know the principle that we've come across, and it's a very, very famous principle. Hamoitzi me chaveiroi olav horaya. If somebody wants to extract money from somebody else, the onus of proof is always on the one claiming it. Why? The answer is, like we've just said before, because to extract money is always a very difficult thing. If you want to change the status quo, you have to prove it. So if I come to you and I say, listen, you owe me $1,000, and you deny it. So we have a machlokas. I have no idea who's correct. Is it me or is it you? The onus of proof is on me. I'm the one who has to prove it, because I am the one changing the status quo. You do not have to prove that you're innocent. The status quo at the moment is the money is in your pocket. If we do nothing, then the money remains in your pocket. You want to change the status quo to take money out of yours and put it into my pocket? Fine. Then you've got to bring a proof. Okay. So it turns out, in summary, and this is where we left off yesterday, that we have two halves of the Mishnah. One half of the Mishnah discussed relying on your father or my father. The second half of the Mishnah is talking about relying on a non-accurately worded shvuah. But in the final analysis, those two cases, would you agree, there's really one principle behind it. We're talking about either a dayon or a shvuah, which min ha-Torah does not have validity. But because we're dealing with a financial situation, so it's our prerogative to say that we're going to rely on it nonetheless. Which really therefore begs the question, so why indeed is the Mishnah telling me these two cases? It's the same principle twice. There is nothing more that I'm learning in the case of Shvuah than what I already knew in the first half of the Mishnah and the Reisha. It's the same exact principle, that even though min ha-Torah, this should not really have validity. Why? Because the judge is my father, or because the Shvuah was not worded accurately, but it's our prerogative to say that I'm going to rely on it nonetheless. And then we get to the machlokes of Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Can you backtrack? Can you not? And this is the Gemara's question. Have a look on the third line of the Gemara. This is where we're up to. Says the Gemara, V'ho Tani Lei Reisha. We've already learned this in the Reisha. The case that we just brought now about the Shavua seems to parallel exactly the case of the Reisha, which is not the Shavua, but again, a similar principle, that I'm relying on something or someone which Min HaTorah does not have validity. So why are you basically telling me the same case twice? Says the Gemara, no. Tana toila bedas acherim, v'tana toila bedas atzmai. The Tana is teaching us two separate cases. In the first case, what are we talking about? That I'm hereby, we agree that we're going to rely on your father, my father. That's not that we're going to rely on you or me, but rather it's bada'as acherim. We're going to rely on an outsider's judgment. Now, that particular outsider is really invalid. Min HaTorah is possible because he's a korev. He's a father, he's a father-in-law. The second case is that I'm going to rely, we're going to rely on you and me. Because you or me, whoever's going to make this shvua, it's not some outsider. That's why the Mishnah split it up into two. So again, let's see those words again. Tana, we were taught in the Mishnah of where toila bedas achirim, where we're relying on other people's das, and then the tana toila bedas atzmai. And then we're being taught another case of where we're relying on our own volition, which is making the shvua. Have a look at Rashi. On the last wide line, on the fourth line there. Toile bedas acherim, which case is that? Abo v'avicho, my father, your father. Or bedas atzmai shel chaveiroi baldin, where I'm relying on my fellow baldin, my other litigant, to make this shvua. That's why it's split up into two. Now, why must it be split up into two? What is the chiddush of each one? Says the Gemara. Let's go back into the Gemara. V'tzricha. It's still necessary to explain to me these two cases. One where we're being reliant on somebody else, and one where we're reliant on each other. V'tzricha. Why must I be told both of these cases? Because if I would only be taught the first case where we're relying on somebody else, who's that somebody else? Your father, my father. Maybe I would have said, maybe over there where we're reliant on other people, maybe there and only there, Reb Meir said that you're allowed to be chayzer, you can backtrack. Why? Mishum deloy gomar umakni. Because he wasn't really gomar, means he didn't really decide in his mind. Remember, we're going with the opinion that we're talking about etein lecha. What does etein lecha mean? Etein lecha means I will give you. The loiva is saying, I'm prepared to rely on my father. And if he says that I am chayev, I will give you the money. So there we say that maybe in that case, Reb Meir holds that you can backtrack. Why? Because to be perfectly honest, the loiva didn't mean it with absolute seriousness. Loi gomar umakni. He didn't firmly be makne the money in his mind. Doma, because he says, well, I don't know, mi yema de mezakile, who says that the Dayan will find me innocent? He's not really sure what will happen. He's being told on other people, and therefore, even though he said he's going to rely on them, but loy gomar. Gomar means from like the word gmar, or to finish. He didn't really close. He didn't really mean it intensely. So if I'd only have that first case, what would I have said? When you're relying on my father or your father, and I say, yes, 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 I'll pay up the money if necessary, then in that case, I didn't really mean it because I don't know at the end of the day what he's going to paskin. But I wouldn't have necessarily known the case of the shvuah. Why not? Says the Gemara. Avol toila bedas atzmoi. But in the case of where we're reliant on each other, Ema maybe moideluhul rabbonon. Maybe in that case, Rav Meir would agree to the rabbonon that you cannot backtrack. Why not? Because when I say to my fellow litigant, listen over here, even if you make this shvua, which min haTorah is not a valid shvua, but I will pay you the money if you do so. I don't have to, but I'm willing to do so. Okay. Do I have any doubt that my litigant will take that shvua? I've got no doubt. Obviously, he's going to make that shvua because he wants his money from me. So there, where I committed to pay the money in the event that you made the shvua, of course I meant it because I know you're going to do it. I don't know what the dayan will pasken. So in the case where I say, listen, yes, I'll pay you the money even with this posel dayan. Really? You really meant it? Come on. You were really hoping that the dayan would actually find you innocent at the end of the day. You didn't really mean to pay up the money because you didn't know what the final outcome would be. But in the case of where the Beis Din have said he's got to make a shvua, and my fellow litigant is about to make the shvua, and he says to me, are you okay with me making this posel shvua where I just say, by the life of your head, and I say, yeah, that's fine. If you take that shvua, I'll pay you the money. Well, you can't say over there that he doesn't know what's going to happen. Of course he knows what's going to happen. Of course the guy is going to take the shvua because he wants every penny. So in that case, he really means it. So maybe over there, Rav Meir would say that what? I agree to the Rabbonon that you can't backtrack because you were very, very serious. And that answers, therefore, our question. Don't say to me, we should have just written the first line of the Mishnah about Abba or Avicha, and then I would have known the Shavua case as well. I wouldn't have known it. Why not? Because I would have been excused for thinking that it's only in the Reisha. There, Rav Meir holds, you can backtrack. Why? Because the loiver is thinking, I didn't really mean it. Even though I very gallantly offered to pay up the money in the event that this posel dayan incriminates me, but I didn't know he's going to incriminate you. And to be perfectly honest, I was hoping that maybe he'd find me innocent. So I didn't really mean to pay you the money. So that's where Rav Meir says you can backtrack. Whereas in the sefer, with the case of the shvua, if you say to your fellow litigant, listen, if you make this shvua, I will pay you. Well, there's no doubt. Obviously, he's going to make that shvua. So don't tell me, well, you didn't mean it seriously. Why didn't you mean it seriously? Did you think that your fellow litigant is not going to take the shvua? So maybe I would have been excused for thinking that over there, because you meant it seriously, maybe Rav Meir would agree over there that over there you cannot backtrack. And that's why I need the sefer of the Mishnah to tell me that no, he still maintains that you can backtrack. And what about the other way around? So maybe just tell me the sefer, says the Gemara, the opposite way around. Ve'iyashmi'inon b'ho. So obviously it's exactly the same now, the opposite direction. If I only would have told me the sefer, the case of the shvua, then I would have said, Baha Kamri Rabbonon. Maybe that's where Rabbonon said you cannot backtrack for reasons we just explained, because obviously he means it's serious because it's a case of the shvua. Aval Bahahi, but in the case of the Resha of Abba of Abicha, Ema Moi Delel Rabbonon Reb Meir, maybe the Rabbonon would agree to Reb Meir that you can backtrack because clearly you do not mean it seriously. That's why says the Gemara Tzricha. So in the final analysis, I really do need both cases, the Resha and the Sefer, because they're not absolutely identical. And if I only would have had one and not the other, I would have said, well, maybe only in that case is a Machloikas and not the other case. Have a look at Rashi. We're on the first narrow line. Mi yeimar de mezakile. I don't know what's going to happen. Will he find me innocent? Will he not find? I don't know what the judge is going to say. Ve'iya ve'yoda de mezakile. And if I would only know that maybe he'll find me innocent, loy hava oma, I would never have said it. I would never have agreed to pay you the money because maybe at the end of the day, I'll actually be off the hook. So for that case, Hilkach, that's why Hodar over there, you can change your mind. Maybe that's why Reb Meir says you can change your mind. Avol toila bedas atzmoi. Where we're not relying on a different dion, we're relying on each other. Shel baldin, I'm relying on my fellow litigant. Then asik adaite. Then he definitely did have clear das. Why? Devadai nodar lei. Kedei lehipoter. V'yoda umachel. There it's a vadai neda. Over there it's a vadai neda. He is definitely making it. You know exactly what your fellow litigant is going to do. So therefore, in the final analysis, it turns out I need both the Reisha and the Sefer, and I could not have learned out one from the other. Now, we mentioned, I think, Rabbi Avraham, you mentioned this last week. It's a very, very important point, and this is what the Gemara is now going to discuss. So look back into the Gemara. At which point exactly can you be Chayza? So the two words that are going to be critical, and I think we've come across them before, are Gmar Din. What's normally the mechanics? The Edim give their testimony. The Dayanim will discuss the Halacha and they'll come to a conclusion. But then there has to be what's called the Gmar Din, the official psak of the Beis Din, the official sentencing of the Beis Din. So it may well be that even before the Gmar Din, we can see exactly what direction the wind is blowing. The Edim have given their testimony. It all seems to be absolutely unequivocal, and the Dayanim all in absolute consensus. So we know exactly what the Gmar Din is going to be. But there hasn't technically and officially been the Gmar Din, the official announcement saying this is the Psak of the Beis Din. So at which point, remember, Reb Meir was the one who says you could be Chayza. When? So look in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Omar Resh Lakish. So Resh Lakish says, Machloikas Lefnei Gemara Din. The whole discussion between Reb Meir and the Chachamim about whether you can or cannot backtrack is only talking before the Gemara Din. Avo, however, la'achar Gemara Din, once the Beis Din have come to their clear conclusion, it's too late. Divrei ha'koil ein yochoil lachser. Everybody would agree, meaning even Rabbi Meir, even though Rabbi Meir says you can backtrack, you can be choizer, but that's only prior to the Gemara Din. But once the Beis Din have made their official announcement, you are chayev, you are potter, then it's too late. That's the opinion of Rish Lakish. So they can only, according, he's saying a chiddush in Radas of Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, you can only backtrack if you do so prior to the Gemara Din. But after the Gemara Din, it's too late. That's the opinion of Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, 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 I disagree. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, la'achar gmar din machlekes. You're telling me that after the gmar din there's no machlekes? I maintain that after gmar din there is a machlekes. Now this is very parallel to the previous sugya. What does that mean, la'achar gmar din there's a machlekes? But you didn't tell me what's halacha kodem the gmar din. You're disagreeing with Resh Lakish. That's true. Resh Lakish clearly differentiated between Kodem Gemara Din, where there's a machlokes, La'acha Gemara Din, he maintained there's no machlokes. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, 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 I disagree. La'acha Gemara Din, there's a machlokes. So what about Lifnei Gemara Din? Says the Gemara, Iboya Lohu, La'acha Gemara Din machlokes. But did you mean to say, is that what you meant to say? that the machloikas is only after the Gemara Din, but before the Gemara Din, everybody, even the Rabbanon, would hold you could be chayza. Oidilma, no, bein bezu, ubein bezu, machloikas. Or maybe you meant to say that the machloikas is both prior to the Gemara Din and la'achar Gemara Din. And when you said that the machloikas is la'achar the Gemara Din, what you meant was it's even la'achar Gemara Din. So the Gemara says, well, we can try and prove this. How? Says the Gemara, Toshma, the Omar Rava. Very similar again to the previous sugya. The Omar Rava, what did Rava say? Kibel Olov Koroiv Oiposel. If he was Makabel, if he accepted the testimony or the judgment of a Koroiv or Apostle, which is the exact subject of our Mishnah, Lifnei Gmar Din Yochel Lachzer Boy. La'achar Gmar Din Ein Yochel Lachzer Boy. So Rava is clearly differentiating between Koidem Gmar Din, where you can change your mind, and La'achar Gmar Din, where you cannot. So he is making a differentiation. Now, whose opinion is he following? Says the Gemara. I omrat bishloimo la'achar gemar din machloikas. If you're going to tell me that it's only la'achar gemar din that there's a machloikas, avol ifnei gemar din divrei hakoil yochel lachzer boy, then it's very good. Rava da oma k'Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rava is clearly following Rabbi Yochanan's differentiation, va'aliba de Rabbonon, and he's paskening like Rabbonon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, not Rish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do the Rabbonon hold? The Rabbonon hold that lifnei gmar din, you can change your mind, la'achar gmar din, you cannot. That's precisely what Rava said, so Rava is clearly going in the footsteps of Rabbi Yochanan and is paskening like Rabbonon. Elo, however, I omrat. But if you're going to tell me bein bezu machloikes, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is always a machloikes, there is no differentiation whatsoever between before the Gemara Din or la'achar Gemara Din, so why was Rava differentiating? Says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that bein bezu machlekes, Rava de Omar Kaman? Question mark. Then who on earth, whose opinion is Rava going with? Rava is clearly differentiating between Koidem Gemar Din and La'achar Gemar Din. But if you're going to tell me that what? That Rabbi Yochanan himself was never mechalek, and he holds that the machlekes is bein lefnei gmar din, bein la'achar gmar din, and there's no difference between koidem and la'achar. Well, if that's the case, why is Rava differentiating? So it must be, says the Gemara, elolav, it must be shmami no la'achar gmar din is a machloikas shma minha. So the final conclusion must therefore be that apparently there's only a machloikas la'achar gmar din. That's when the Rabbonon say you cannot change your mind, but koidim gmar din you can, which is exactly what Rava said. Have a look at Rashi. I omrat bishloima. Oh, sorry, I missed out a Rashi. Lifnei Gmar Din. Lifnei Gmar Din. La'achar she'to'anu bifneihem. It's after they have all made their claims in front of the Dayonim, but v'koidem Gmar Din, but before the final sentencing of the Bezdin, bozeh lachzer. This one comes along in order to be chayzer. So it turns out that in the final analysis, and this is really the answer to your question last week, Rav Avram, at which point can you be chayza? In the final analysis, it turns out that if it's Kaidem Gemara Din, everybody agrees you could be Chayza. Because nothing's happened. It's true, you've made your claims, it's true, the Dayanim have had their discussion, but there's been no official psak of the Bez, and you can backtrack. La'achar Gemara Din, that's when we have a machlokes, a tremendous chiddush that Reb Meir holds, that even though there's been a Gemara Din already, so I would have thought, finished, it's all over, it's too late. No, you can still backtrack. And the Rabbanon hold, no, now it's too late. So Rabbanon differentiate, and this is the halacha ulamais, and that's what Rava was saying. Rabbanon differentiate between, therefore, koidem Gemara Din, where you can be Chayza, as opposed to la achar Gemara Din, where you cannot be Chayza. Yes, Reb Lech.
If you're going to Chayza after Gemara Din, what's the point of a Beis Din? I hold with this dying as long as he sides with me. Oh, he didn't side with me? I don't hold by
normally,
this dying.
Normally, he cannot do that because we're talking about three kosher dayanim. But in the case where there is no Bezdin, we're talking about there is no Bezdin. One of them is Apostle Dayan. So you can't say, what's the point of the Bezdin? There is no Bezdin. So he took a gamble. He's allowed to take a gamble. In the case of where it's a fully fledged Bezdin, well, then yes, of course, you don't get an opinion. So I do backtrack, I don't backtrack. The Torah believes it and finish. The Torah says that three Dayanim have a Nemonus or two Edim have a Nemonus. But in the case where I don't have Edim or I don't have a Bezdin because one of them is apostle, so then I can always backtrack at the final, until the final moment.
But then you haven't agreed to anything. What you're basically saying is if they side with me, I'm good. If they don't side with me, I change my mind. What's the point?
That's what Ramea is saying. Lo yigomar. He didn't really mean it, seriously. Okay, we have to hold it over here. As I mentioned, tomorrow will not be Shia. So, Emet Hashem, we should just say Besuras Tevis, and we'll continue next time, all being well.